On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Network. Rob over there.
I'm not sure I've ever been this plowed.
I'm pretty sure you have.
Oh, I've been.
It's Matt over here. What's going on, man?
You know.
Yeah. Maybe he hasn't ever been this plowed.
Yeah, somewhere.
Really take a listen to that new opening because you could miss it. Joe Bowen is not necessarily proud as he's...
He's plowed.
He's having a little fun there on the opening.
I don't know if I've ever been this plowed.
A rare moment where the Toronto and Ottawa markets can agree on.
Yeah, I think Joe has a Harvey's burger in each hand.
I think for a while he was the voice of
the
Harvey's commercials.
Yep.
And for a while it was Rod Smith.
No, Rod Smith's doing the Kelsey's.
That could be, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No.
All right.
Joe Bowen is still doing the two junior burgers or whatever it is for $6. You're like, come on, Joe. We know if it's two junior burgers, you're doing four.
I'm right there with you, Joe.
Yeah. Fear not, Joe. You got support. You got back in here.
We appreciate your contribution to the new opening. I've got lots to get to on this one. I am currently sampling for the first time.
Try it again for the first time.
A brown ale from Covered Bridge. I forget the fucking name of it at this point.
MSB.
Yes.
Sorry about that, man.
Took the wind right out of my fucking sails.
Happens now and again.
It's oddly, the first sip or two, it's definitely a brown, but it's almost got like an IPA kick to it or something.
You know what? I brought you over a couple of those stouts.
Yep.
A quartet.
Drank half of them.
Yeah, and then drank half. So I figured I'd you know, shoot you a little love with the brown ale. The MSB.
Yeah.
To me, cards on the table,
mm-hmm.
all honesty, mm-hmm. which is really what this show was built upon.
Of course.
I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
To me.
They appeared to be going down all right last night enjoying them.
I was drinking the... Eternally Hoptimistic.
Right, okay.
Also by Covered Bridge, which I liked.
But what I do know is that you brought four of these, and this is the last one.
No.
Okay.
I brought an 8-pack.
Yes.
Two MSBs.
Okay.
Two Eternally Hoptimistic.
Right.
And then four of the Double Double.
What was the Hoptimistic? Is it an IPA?
It's an American Pale Ale.
Okay.
So an APA. Again, a little higher alcohol.
Mm-hmm. As is this one, apparently.
That's about a 6.6, I believe.
We'll see how bad I'm slurring by the end of it. Cards on the table.
I think you're
dyslexic
good.
As fuck as we've been walking around the studio
been struggling,
so far today.
Struggling
long
today.
Before we fired up the mics or started cracking anything to drink. Just tripping over my own fat tongue.
It's all the hair.
It is a hairy tongue. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Let's just carry on.
I could just shave that.
I want to start with a man who's had quite a week.
Thank you. No introduction necessary. You've already spoke about me in glowing terms. Mm-hmm. Quite a week I've had. You ever have a dump that has left you feeling
emotional,
winded? You're just like, I got to take a knee. This has left me breathless.
We're already seated, and now I need to take a knee.
No, lean forward and just go. Anyway.
All right.
On to whatever you want to talk about.
In a hurry. Alex Ovechkin. A couple of hat tricks and then a lowly single goal game.
Yeah, 7 goals in 3 games, which he did that in 2 games last year. I'm not sure what the slack ass is doing.
Get it together, man.
I want you to harken back to a TCS season preview where one Rob Christie said, that dude's going to have a hangover.
Oh, I think that was a pretty common. I can't imagine I fought you hard on that. That whole team went hard for a few months after winning it. And it was awesome to watch them do it after the shit kicking they had taken in the media and in their own fan base, certainly from other fan bases, as those guys that'll never get it done, right? The Blues East kind of thing.
Yep.
Or the Sharks East. Yeah. Yeah.
Senators South.
Sure. Sure. Other teams with compasses. It's been impressive to watch. And the debate has once again arisen as to whether or not Ovechkin has a chance to catch Wayne Gretzky as the all-time leading goal scorer in the league. Now, I want to set some numbers down before I let Rob...
Set it down!
...takes his run at this. The last time Ovechkin was asked about this publicly was before the 2016 World Cup. And he immediately shrugged it off, saying... In this league, the way we play now, it's not happening, right? There's no way. He currently has 29 goals and 43 points in 32 games. He's on pace for 74 goals. That would shatter his previous career high.
60?
Of 65 in the 07-08 season, where he... basically torched the league. He's 33 years old, and in his career, he has averaged 47 goals per season. At that pace, if we look at it, if he's going to score 47 goals over the from now on, which you know we'll get into this, it would take him 6 more years to get there. He's 33 years old. A couple more just to hit you with. The most goals ever scored by anyone over 33 years of age, Jaromir Jagr in the 05-06 season, which if you'll recall was coming off the lockout, all kinds of power play opportunities, and they'd really clamped down on obstruction goals were way up that year. He started this season. What's up, man?
Well, I'm thinking about that going, Jaromir Jagr was 33 in the 05-06 season. He was just playing last year.
Yeah, I know. So he started this season 287 goals back of Wayne Gretzky, the most goals ever scored from ages 33 to 40. If you'll hearken back, I laid out a 6-year, you know, if he maintained his average of 47 per year, it would take him 6 years to get there. That would be 33 to his 40-year-old season. The most goals ever scored in that time period by anybody was Johnny Busick. Way back, playing basically a different sport, he scored 274 goals from age 33 to 40. So.
You serious?
Yep.
Johnny Busick.
Yep.
How many goals did Johnny Busick score before 33?
I didn't do that research.
7?
Wasn't
relevant. Honest to God, man, because that's crazy.
The Chief.
Yeah.
So those are sort of, and we can kind of kick some of these around. We can, you know, say what they all mean as we move forward. But that's sort of presenting the case of where this is all at right now.
Well, and it's funny because you sent that to me earlier today, yesterday.
Yep.
Saying, yeah, I want to speak to this. And it's funny because when he scored his hat trick earlier in the week,
had a hat trick Tuesday,
and they said, "Yeah,
hat trick Thursday."
And they said, and it was the one on the Tuesday, and they said, you know, it's his 21st hat trick, and and they sort of revisited that period where they thought, yeah, dude's finished.
Yeah.
He went 35 goals, 32 goals, and then 33. Yeah, yeah. But just he had come in from, you know, his first 3 or 4 years were all over 50 goals.
Yeah, just hammering. Yeah.
And so he started to sort of trend downwards, and people are like, yeah, is he really finished? Is he's no longer in that conversation as and then clearly all he's done is ramp it up since then and to be on the torrid pace he's on now. And really it came down to, for me, they said, you know, well, who are the, you know, is he the top goal scorer ever? Pure goal scorer. We're not talking about points. Mm-hmm. We're talking about sniper, like legit goal scorer.
Yep.
And they're like, you know, who would you say it is? And they're saying,
Mike Bossy's got to be in the conversation.
Mike Bossy, right? And then I'm like, where's Gretzky in this? And I guess he's always there.
Yeah.
But nobody mentions him as a legit goal scorer.
I wonder if that's because he did so many other things well. Well,
because as you've talked about, Ovechkin is at like 0.6 goals per game, right? Which is higher than Gretzky.
Yep.
Lemieux and Bossy are both up in the mid 0.75 range.
Yep. Now both racked up a pile of those in the freewheeling 80s, as did Wayne, obviously.
Yeah. And for me, it's always going to be Gretzky. It's always going to be Gretzky. And I think he gets, and it's sorry to say, and it's going to seem ridiculous to say out loud, he gets sort of short shrift on the goal scoring because he had so many assists.
Put up like 3,000 assists in a year and a half.
The year that he had 215 points, he scored 62 goals.
Right.
You take away his goals, and he still led the league in scoring. Right. Like, to me, you have sort of moved beyond that status of you're just better. Now, wait, I wanted to finish something before we, because there's a bunch of different avenues. We could do a show on this on its own.
Yep.
The year that Gretzky scored 92 goals, and to me, this is the most telling thing, right? People are like, yeah, it's the 80s. People are scoring way more goals. Nine guys had over 50 goals that year.
Yep.
Okay. So that is, you go, okay, you know, okay, you got to put a little asterisk beside that, right? Because clearly it's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. Who was second to Gretzky that year? It was Mike Bossy. How many goals did Mike Bossy have as the second highest goal scorer? Well, Mike Bossy had 60.
So he's still way in the fucking
You are
dust.
50% behind the leader. And to me, that speaks to Gretzky. Gretzky's like, all right, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, the guy with the most points ever has 1,900 points-ish. Gretzky, Lemieux, or Howe, sorry, at 18, whatever it was, 1801. I'm just going to score, I'm going to have more assists than that. Forget about my 891 or 94 goals. To me, it's almost like he gets removed. People don't think about him.
Right.
Right, they're like, oh, yeah.
I think part of it is that for so long, it was just so obvious. We were all just like, yep, best ever. And as time goes on, and less people who are talking about it now actually saw him in his prime, which I'm included in, you kind of start to go, yeah, but I wonder if Bobby with this or Mario with that, right? And you start talking about era-adjusted stats, which I really find interesting, right? As you sort of even everything out, right? And you pull down the stats from the 80s a bit and you bump the ones from the early 2000s a bit, trying to get everybody, you know, if they all played in the same era, where would they finish? And it's still Wayne by a mile, right? So
I think
we're both on the same page in terms of Wayne Gretzky was the greatest player of all time and probably the greatest goal scorer of all time. The problem that you run into is he probably wasn't the hardest shooter or the fastest skater or the whatever, right? It's just, but still somewhere, he always found a way to get there and get it done.
See, and I've always been an absolute stats geek, right? Love the stats, and which is weird that I haven't really sort of got into Corsi and Fenwick and all these sort of
the new ones.
Yeah, I love looking at stats. To me, there's so much time can be wasted. Looking at, somebody gave me, I don't know, around 90, 91 at Christmas time, they gave me an NHL guidebook, and it was a breakdown of all the players in the league, scouting reports on these players. And on each player page, it was sort of a grid of the offensive zone with the net. And it would say, these are where the majority of their goals,
like your heat zones,
are scored from, right? Yeah. And so you have some guys with just this little fucking line straight up from the net,
yeah,
right? And it's just like, this is just, that's it, right?
Yeah.
And I remember looking at Gretzky's, and so this is again 90, 91, and they're like, he's not the best skater, he's not the hardest shooter, right? And you sort of, mm-hmm, it's all these slags, and then you go, but he just does everything well,
right?
And his shooting angle was like a W out in front of the thing, right? It's like he scores goals from all these spots, right?
And yep.
It's almost like he's such a given that he just gets overlooked.
Yes.
And that's really all I wanted to do. And I know I've taken 10 minutes to do it, but it's just people go, yeah, he's not in the talk.
So as we bring it back then to Ovechkin, and all the numbers that I laid out a few minutes ago that you can rewind if you need a refresher now before I go through them all again. But essentially, going into this season, he needed to average 47 goals per year for 6 years to catch Wayne. Now, he's on pace for over 70. I don't think he's finishing with over 70.
High 50s.
But I think he's finishing with over... I got him around 60. So
sorry, I had him at 58.
Dick. So let's say he can get another year or two into the 60s. He doesn't have to average 47 anymore, right? The more years you finish over that, those later years, that number comes down.
Well, because Gretzky's last year, I think he had 3 or 5.
I'm not sure it was that low, but it was low.
Single digits.
Okay. So if he decides to do kind of what Jágr does, like if he can get another 2 or 3 50-goal years, and then just play at a 20-goal pace for a decade or whatever. He, in my mind now, which was unthinkable even 2 years ago, he could do this.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
The question becomes, one knee injury that keeps him out for just 30 games totally derails that pace. Maybe this doesn't mean that much to him. You've seen guys like Datsyuk go home. Kovalchuk, go home. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Maybe he signs another 2 or 3 year deal after that. But then he could just decide, I want to finish out in the KHL. That's obviously, his home country's proven to be very important to him before. The thing that's interesting about Ovechkin, he's not one of the top skaters in the league. And that's normally what you look for to disappear on a big scorer, right? Is he's going to slow way down. That's not really his game. His game, he gets a ton of his goals in the same spot on that circle on the power play, and he hammers it through you. And when do those shoulders start to go, right? When do those sorts of... He's for a long time played a fearless game, a physical game, where if it was clear that Duncan Keith was the guy that was supposed to cover him for the night, he didn't wait for Duncan Keith to come get him. He would initiate contact with that guy. And so this to me is, this doesn't have to be a crazy pace for the next 10 years for him to get this done. But when it goes in a hurry for a lot of these guys. And it wouldn't shock me in 2 years if he was suddenly a 15 goal guy, right? Just because he's ridden that body so hard.
Yeah, I think, and you've touched on it, his calling card is, and I'm not sure most people appreciate what a big man he is.
Yeah.
Right? And really, he's been an above average skater. He's not an effortless glider like McDavid or...
And I'm certainly wasn't saying he was a bad skater.
No. I know you weren't. I know you weren't. I'm just saying, but what his deal is, is I think he's a physical specimen,
yeah,
right? That the Russian bear, like he, to me, he is, he's burly, he's big. And as an 18-year-old, he was able to lay out full grown men.
Yeah.
Right. Because he was so powerful. And I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but I feel like Ovechkin has been healthy, air quotes,
mm-hmm,
for most of his career.
Yep.
Where you look at his actual...
Well, he's been wicked durable, for sure.
Right. And so he and Crosby will forever be sort of compared.
Yep.
Crosby, I think, has missed the two full seasons, yes, probably, of hockey.
That's right.
Right? So in comparison, yeah, Ovechkin has been super durable. And you
playing
wonder...
Playing a wicked, rugged style.
Yeah. Now, he has dialed that back. Right? Yes, there's not nearly as much hitting as he did in the first half of his career.
But I think a lot of that has been initiated by the Capitals more than him, saying, hey, playing this way, we can be better.
Which is funny because they've asked him to play 200 feet of hockey.
Yep. Well, and you've seen in the last two or three years, and it never used to be the case, no matter how good that team was, he now plays in the last minute defending a lead. That never used to happen.
Well, you look at that goal that they eliminated Pittsburgh, I believe. Or they,
the Kuznetsov,
or they beat, yeah, the Kuznetsov goal is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that was,
he's the
Pittsburgh
one who's made that outlet pass.
Yeah, he chips it out
from on his side of the,
mm-hmm,
and he's made that pass. Yep. So to me, in years gone by, he's not there
right
for that.
No,
but I'm with you 100%. What's going to stop him is, and it's not going to be, I don't believe he's one of those guys who's going to go back and finish out his last couple of semi useful years in the KHL. I think he's driven by the compete level, and I think he knows,
mm-hmm, if there was ever going to be a year to slack, it would be this year, and he's done the complete opposite.
Right. This is where, if you are a hockey player, this is the league you do it in, right? Hands down, this is where the best players in the world are.
Yeah.
And when you were a Russian, when you're a Swede, when you're a Canadian, whoever you are, in your prime years, you're killing it here, right? And I think for him, that drives him a lot. So he can make money, I think, in the back end of his career, but I think he
can make more in Russia.
Yep. But that's what I'm saying is I don't think that's what's driving him. Not I can go and be more productive over there and make money. It's still I could probably contribute in a bunch of ways and win here. I think he's motivated to stay here. I think it's going to be cut,
yeah,
if it's going to cut short for him.
I think
it's gonna,
I agree.
It's going to cut short on injury.
Yeah.
Not on leaving to go like Datsyuk or Kovalchuk or any of these guys. Like, to me, Datsyuk, killer two-way player, right? Mm-hmm. King of the takeaway, magical moves in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
But he's like, I want my cups. I've got all my takeaways. Everyone acknowledges me as the best two-way player in the game. I'm just more interested in my family living in Russia and me finishing my career there. I don't see Ovechkin. Ovechkin is a limelight guy.
To me, let's assume he gets to 60 this year. Let's assume, and it's, I'm willing to admit that all of these have plenty of room to go off the rails, but 50, 55 next year. It's not out of the realm of possibility for me that then for the next three or four, he's a 30-goal guy, and then really you just ride it out as a 20-goal guy for...
Yeah, see, to me...
The game is only getting easier. The scoring is way up this year. Goalie equipment's getting smaller. They've cracked down again in the obstruction.
Some goalies are looking quite small.
Yes, they are. And
I think you're wrong, though, on the there's much more chippy physical play that's being let go.
Well, stats would suggest that all those types of penalties are up right now. So in terms of being able to get that done, to me, it's, I don't know that this is happening. I'm not sitting here saying, oh my God, Ovechkin's going to pass Gretzky. I'm saying that even from 2 years ago, this is way more realistic than I ever thought it would become.
Right. Oh, and I agree, but it's not happening.
So you don't agree.
No, I don't agree it's going to happen is all I'm saying. I think he is, when you look at pure goal scorers, which is what this question was talking about, and how he needs to have four more seasons probably of...
40 goals.
At least.
Yeah.
Right? Of sort of that, of late.
He needs this one to stay high. He needs to stay around 60, 65. Yep. He's got to crack 50 next year. And then you can kind of do your 40, 40, 30, yeah. 20, 20, 20, 20, 20.
And so to wrap this all up, yeah. right, it comes down to me, you are talking about, to me, the other guy who fits this mold best is, as you've touched on, is Mike Bossy. To me, who is the goals per game leader,
mm-hmm.
right? He had 950 goal seasons in 11 seasons, I
and
think.
Then just, I'm done.
Back problems.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not shitting on him. I just
yep.
He didn't do the thing where you trail off and finish in single digits like Gretz did.
No, I think he finished at 38.
He was just great, and then he was gone.
Then I couldn't do it. And yeah. and as a kid, in honestly, in the late 70s, early 80s. Playing road hockey, everyone's like, I want to be Gretzky. I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I want to be Mike Bossy because he's killing it.
Right.
And so that was always my guy. Yeah, three or four 60-plus goal seasons before they became wickedly in vogue. Like, he was, to me, he was just such a pure, pure goal scorer, right?
So if you level it all out, era by era, is he a better pure goal scorer than Alex Ovechkin playing in a very different...
See, and this is it. I'm not sure, right? It's
yeah, it gets really hard. And there is no way to definitively say one is better than the other. I think Wayne is the best hockey player who's ever played the game. I think Bobby's right there with him. In terms of the best goal scorers I've ever seen, I have a really hard time. And I was really young for Bossy, and I've gone back and I've watched stuff and whatever. In terms of watching through their entire prime, man, Ovechkin just, and everyone knows exactly what he's going to do. He's yep. going to set up in this spot, and you should probably watch him there, but somehow the puck gets to him, and he hammers it through you.
Yeah. See,
he's not cute, right? There's no dangle and then top shelf this. Just hammers it.
See, I'm getting somebody out there. You watch it last year that the teams religiously in the playoffs tried to get out on him.
Yeah.
And then they just went, okay, we'll hit Oshie in the middle.
Yep. Or they would switch, right? Carlson would shift down low onto that spot, and Ovechkin would move out to the point, and all of a sudden he's open again.
That Oshie spot in the five spot on the die, right? Yeah, middle, right? And it's off his stick half a second.
Right.
And you go, man, that is crazy how quick he's releasing that puck. It's such a deadly option. You go, well, why doesn't everybody do that? And you go, okay, because everybody doesn't
Not
have
everybody
that.
Can.
Everybody doesn't have that skill.
And I think that's just my point with Ovechkin is, more often than not, he's not fooling you. You know what he's going to do.
For sure.
And he just does it.
Which makes it better. I totally agree.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. Yoo-hoo.
Come stop me.
I'm over here.
Yeah.
Bang.
Top corner.
Get in the bent, net. Loser.
Show titled. Yes. We got a couple other things I wanted to touch on before we move on. We talked at the beginning of the season, or maybe at the end of last season, and there's not a ton here, but I did want to mention it, about Bob Cole being shunned out of the playoffs last season, and how many fans were upset that, you know, he didn't get his send-off. And so at the beginning of this season, Sportsnet announces he's going to call 10 games here in the first half of the season, you know, all before the turn of the calendar. But they don't announce how. It's just he's going to kind of cover every Canadian team as he goes. We've seen him go to each of the Canadian cities thus far. But they still didn't say this would be the last one or this. And I think a lot of people had circled, because Sportsnet had said it would be before the end of the calendar. The Leafs were at home to the Rangers on the 22nd. He was the only, that's the only Canadian team he hadn't yet done a game for this year. And so that was sort of the expectation. All right, I guess that'll be it. So last week, Sportsnet puts out a press release that says we have, I guess, extended Bob Cole for an extra 6 games through the rest of this season. And his last game, which they were very careful how they worded, but winding up his 50th season and our regular season, he will end his career calling the Leafs and Habs on the final Saturday night of the regular season. He will call the Leafs and Rangers on the 22nd, as many expected, and he'll have 6 more in the new year. I know you are not a Bob Cole fan, but does announcing kind of how this is all going to wrap up seem like the proper way to handle this?
Well, I'm not a Bob Cole fan.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? 50 years
yes.
doing something is...
It's worth acknowledging.
It's worth acknowledging. To me, you've stayed too long. In general, right? Mm-hmm. If you were in any other walk of life, work, any other business, they're shooting you along, right?
Here's your gold watch.
Thank you very much. Man, we appreciate what you've done. And you've been the benchmark for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Senators bias, right? In terms of Bob Cole, Harry Neal in that early 2000s.
Yeah.
I listened to Bob Cole last night, right?
He did the Ottawa Montreal game this weekend, yep.
And when he's talking about, I watched Drouin score the empty net goal, which involved two passes being completed before it went into the open empty net.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, hey, that's more like the way the Canadians have played in the past." And you're like, how, Bob? They've made two passes? Or they've scored into an empty net? Like, what? And the puck is, the puck is in this. And Greg Millen saying, it's out of play, Bob. It's up in the mesh.
You're exaggerating.
I am not exaggerating. That's an exact thing happened, man.
So
Greg Millen is, Bob doesn't know where the puck is, and Greg Millen's telling him, it's out of play, Bob. You're done, Bob.
To me, yeah, and that's fair. I think this has to be it. Now, I'm a big fan of Bob Cole. Now, to me...
Why?
Because he was the voice of when I became a big Leafs fan, right? Kind of the early, mid, late 90s, all the way through that run.
Sure.
And when I think about Bob Cole as a Leafs guy, it is those Toronto-Ottawa playoffs. I don't remember Bob Cole ever calling one big Toronto-Montreal game. Toronto's been shit so much of his career.
No, but I think as a 50-year guy going back to the late 60s, you got a nod.
Sure.
To the
And it's the last game of the regular season. I understand how it all fits together.
To me, that's the only way you go.
Right.
You think of him as...
That's right, but there hasn't been a single Toronto-Montreal playoff series in that entire span.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that is, you're looking at a guy who's probably called 1,000
sure.
of those, right? And so
sure.
you're saying these two-storied Canadian franchises,
right.
we're going to go that route with it.
So there is a rare Wednesday night game in, I can't remember, it's February or March, where Toronto was playing Ottawa, and he's been given that game on Sportsnet's national, Wednesday night game. So they're going to call that.
Great.
Yeah, no. I get it, but to me, that is more the appropriate...
Yeah, yeah. For you.
Yes. I fully admit that.
Okay, because I don't think... And you and I are on two sides of that coin, but
yeah.
I think there's a bunch of people who don't care. They're like, hey, I'm a Flames fan. Hey, I'm a Canucks fan.
Yeah, but Bob Cole called that entire Flames run in 04, right? Bob Cole called that entire Oilers run in 06.
So then that should be his last game then.
Yeah, okay.
And that's all I'm saying is, yeah, that's your personal bias.
I think my thing is, because I'm not oblivious to the fact that the quality of Bob Cole's call has gone way down.
Yeah, and that's all. I agree. And that's, as I said to you, I led the whole thing off with saying, hey, 50 years
yes.
in anything is worthy of acknowledgement, and you're to be commended for that. But to me, he's had 10 years of subpar.
As my own... you love to rip Joe Bowen on this show. I'm a big fan. You don't like Bob Cole. I'm a big fan. Those were both guys that obviously called Leafs forever and had very energetic, over-the-top calls. And now I have a hard time watching Jim Houston. I don't think there's any emotion in that call. I don't think there's any excitement in those calls. And so I got time for Bob Cole missing a name or two or messing up a thing or two because there's still a great flow to his call, a great energy to it that I prefer as a...
Right, and I don't think Bob has any of that now.
And I disagree with that, but that's...
And listening to him last night, right, it's to me, he just sounds like an old man calling the game. and again, Bob...
He is
no
old man calling the game.
No offense, Bob. clearly
no doubt listening to a podcast
you're going to get it and you're going to say, yeah, fuck you, buddy. Yeah. And I get it. Right. But yeah, you should have retired 10 years ago.
I think, and you no doubt would have stronger memories of this than I was Anaheim, Ottawa under Bob, or was that Jim Houston's first year as the top
guy? No, that was Bob.
Okay. So it would have been the next year as we moved into the Detroit.
And he was still saying, and here comes Ottawa Sens, number 12. Here's and a shot and a miss. Oh, and Pronger picks it up and goes, why do you never know the Ottawa players' names? You know that's Mike Fisher. You know that.
They're going to lose. You don't have to learn those.
Well, so in last night, he's like, and the Habs are putting on great pressure. And he's extolling all the virtues. And granted, Montreal was taking it to Ottawa in the third period.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, he's like, what? And the Ottawa Sens are playing good too.
There's another team here.
Yeah. Don't talk down to me, Bob. Don't be so condescending, you bitch. I know what's happening. I can see with my own eyes.
Just call Bob Cole a bitch.
Yes.
I just called an 80-year-old man a bitch. All right.
I did that. Sorry.
Moving along. We move off of it, you understand this. You
Shirley,
get that this
has got to be it.
Don't call me Shirley.
Would I?
Yeah. This is what they had done with announcing that he had 10 games left in the first half of the season, but we're not going to tell you what any of them are, was weird. Now, adding these last six, telling you what they are, if you're into it, great. If you're not, it doesn't change anything for you. This is a better way to put him out to pasture, which is clearly what they're doing.
Which I thought they'd done in the 17-18 season. Didn't give him any playoff games or didn't give him anything after the first round.
But I think
round. That's
what upset everybody, was you didn't say, hey, this is Bob's last game.
I distinctly heard Greg Millen say in a game late last year.
Don't listen to anything Greg Millen says.
That he acknowledged Bob's long career and sort of gave Bob a tip of the cap. And Bob, obviously in a very humble,
shut up, Greg.
Legend kind of way, sort of shrugged
there
it off.
Unidentified sends coming.
Yeah, exactly. Molestar play-by-play or color guy, Molestar Productions, which
awesome.
Is honestly.
Wow. Stick with us, folks. That's old.
That's the original Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s.
To me, this is the right way to do it. And I will watch that game.
I'll watch it, but not for Bob Cole.
You're going to watch a Toronto-Montreal game.
For sure, on Saturday night. Yeah. Unless we're playing somewhere else.
It won't mean anything then. So
it will to keep us out of... prime.
Getting Colorado.
Prime,
Jack Hughes.
Exactly. Yeah. This is exactly it, man. And that's my whole season. So screw you.
I don't know if I let you know that I wanted to touch on this beforehand, but I rarely do.
Yeah, this is it. I don't need as much preparation as you do.
Edmonton Oilers COO, CEO, Bob Nicholson.
Chief Operating Officer.
Interviewed in The Athletic here a couple of days ago as to... Essentially, the question was, if the Oilers make the playoffs...
Are you going to re-sign or extend Ken Hitchcock?
Will Pete Chiarelli be back as GM? I know you don't require research, so maybe you should allow me to finish the question.
No, that would take
bunch
of the edge off this show.
He said, yeah, that's about the half of it. We're not guaranteeing anything. And then they asked the follow-up and said, but if he makes it, he'll be back. He said, oh, guaranteed. Like, okay. Well, so they didn't say if he misses, he'll be fired. But they did say if he makes it, he'll be back. So does that not... And the Oilers have been hot over the last two weeks, nine, two and two.
And I totally... Well, it was 7-2-1 through 10. I know that.
Okay.
So and I totally hammered on the Oilers for that selection.
Right. Of Hitchcock. Or Chiarelli. No, I don't know what
for Hitchcock.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and we debated that a couple of weeks ago. I didn't expect it to go this well, but I was in favor of it as a change of pace.
Yep.
So to me, though, have you not essentially said to Pete Chiarelli, you've almost given him the Alex Anthopoulos card with the Blue Jays, right? You're done at the end of this year unless you do this. If I'm Pete Chiarelli, my interest in the future of the franchise.
I'm trading away every future the prospect and pick I
That's
can.
That's right. Anything for me to just make it now. Now, to be fair, as we sit here and record this, they are in a three-way tie for second place. They've been red hot. They're back in the hunt to make the playoffs. All these sorts of things.
Wait for their 3-7 next 10. What's going to happen here.
Yeah. When you hire a new coach, there's always a spike. Mikko Koskinen is at like a 938 save percentage in the last 10. That's going to come back to earth. Not saying he's going to start to suck.
Thank you, Cam Talbot, for being what we predicted you to be.
Exactly. Their shooting percentage is way high over the last month or so. These things are going to start to come back to earth. Now, maybe they make it, right? But this is not a great team. This is not a team set up to win. And you can't say to a guy, your job depends on you making the playoffs, because his vision now becomes just this year.
Yeah, it becomes 4 months.
Yeah.
And really, what you're saying is, yeah, that team I assembled, it was crap under McClelland.
Yeah.
But it's great under Hitchcock. It's the same team.
Yep.
Why am I unfairly having the failure of McClelland put upon me? Or am I unfairly
higher.
You what?
You're higher. If you hire McClelland, his failure is on you.
Okay, but all I'm saying is it's the same team.
Yep.
Working under both these coaches. And you go, well, am I a great GM for the fucking McClelland era? Or am I a crappy, or vice versa, for the Hitchcock version?
Yeah. Did I construct a great team that McClelland couldn't
coach? Really, should you just fire my ass because nobody liked me anyways and extend Hitchcock and then bring in a new GM?
Yeah.
Like, does that not make more sense?
A little bit. A little bit, man.
I didn't like you. The team is sucking. We got to bring in this guy to patch it over.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's doing a great job. We're going to extend him and fire your ass. Like, to me, that's it, right?
A little bit. That's the way I see it, man, is I've not been a fan of Pete Chiarelli for a long time.
And you've said that from when he was in Boston.
That's right. So, to me, the team he's constructed isn't that good. And right now, their shooting percentage is way high, and their goaltending percentages are way too high, and that will come back to earth. They may get in, but you're right. At some point, like for most teams, a 3-7 is coming. And so your 10-3 will be erased.
Yeah. Now, they are in the shittiest division in hockey.
Yes, they are.
And
I kind of think, I think I picked them to finish 5th or 6th in our preseason prediction.
Yeah, I think I had them 7th.
After watching it this long and how bad this division has been, I do think they're probably going to get in.
Well, and to me...
But they're not good.
Hey, harken back. Western correspondent Dean Kozak.
Yeah.
Can I say his last name?
Sure,
why not?
Yeah. He's been on a few times. The first time you outed him was...
Yeah. He said, if you recall, we had the Flames. We both had the Flames finishing 2nd, I think.
Yep.
And the Oilers finishing, you maybe 6th, me 7th, or 5-6, whatever it was. And him saying...
Flames way too high.
Flames way too high. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Here the Flames are.
which I think you said, which makes me feel like we got it right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and here the Flames are the darlings of the Western Conference at this moment, right?
Despite their toilet bowl goaltending.
And really, James Neal, their big offseason signing, being not just not that great.
Bad.
Being fairly non-existent.
Yeah.
Come on, James, man, be better than that.
How about the Carolina Hurricanes walking around telling everybody, we're looking for some scoring forwards after trading away Elias Lindholm and Jeff Skinner, who are both lighting it up in their new homes.
Yeah. Well, and it's your owner saying,
we'll never draft.
We need some snipers in here. Yeah. We're not drafting any more D. We're good on D.
He completely emasculated his GM. Don Waddell. Well, as long as I'm here, we will never draft a defenseman in the first round. Well, then you will be chasing defensemen for the rest of your fucking...
That guy...
Brutal.
Yeah, it's...
Tom Dundon.
Yeah, and you go... You scored 4 goals last night, but you lost 6-4.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Well, and as you said, you have traded away. Lindholm's tearing it up.
Yeah, as is Skinner.
And Skinner was... He's way beyond his early Carolina days.
No, he's killing people, right? Jack Eichel's loving having someone to dish to.
Loving it. Yeah, so
well,
just shut up, guy.
Tom
shut up
Dundon,
and stop doing this.
His quote was, I'd rather be losing 5-4 than 2-1. At least at 5-4, having fun.
I said 6-4. There you go.
And I can tell you, though, as a Leafs fan who's watched a fairly notable 5-4 loss, it wasn't that much fun. Still a loss, buddy.
Yeah, I think the difference is a 5-4 loss in October or November is entertaining. A 5-4 loss in April, not so entertaining.
No, it's true. I think the last thing we wanted to touch on was here a little closer to home. We got Ottawa Fury FC tied up in an international scandal. It's kind of become
A little bit of a legal issue, and I know.
So why don't you set this one up?
Everybody out there is listening and going, "Holy Christ!" They're going to talk soccer, and they're going to talk honestly. Tier two North American
soccer.
Those of
you tuning out, we'll see you next week on Talk.
Yeah, I think to both Matt and I, who don't give a pinch of coon shit about soccer, it's not really a soccer issue.
No,
right?
But it is a fascinating one.
Yes. So what you have here is Ottawa Fury, which plays in the USL, which is de facto kind of a league below the MLS.
Yeah, Division Two in North America.
Right. So MLS is where the TFC, Montreal Impact, Vancouver Whitecaps, the Atlanta Five Stripes, I think, is what they're called. Oof. They just won the MLS Cup, I believe. Five Stripes. Anyways.
LA Galaxy.
Yeah. Where we're going with this is, so Ottawa Fury has been in the USL for a couple of years after coming over from the NASL, which sort of was a defunct league. It was on the way out, and it is now defunct.
Sort of another Division II league that sort of folded up, and they absorbed a couple teams into the USL.
Into the USL. And so Ottawa has had a couple of good seasons. Last year was a down season. With the onset of the CPL, the Canadian Premier League.
Just launching here across the country now.
This is it. With teams, I believe, in Winnipeg, Hamilton, Halifax, Edmonton, I believe.
Could be. I'm not sure.
There's
not up on my Canadian Premier League.
Yeah. Well, and they haven't kicked a ball yet.
No.
Right. And Ottawa has said, yeah, we're not doing that.
To be fair, Ottawa has said, we're interested and we want to support this, but you're not there yet. It's not yet worth us for us to leave where we are to come to your startup until you show something, basically, right?
Like, correct. Yeah. And we'll double back to some of that. Because those of you who are saying, you're not top flight, what's the difference? Valid point, but we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
So Ottawa Fury, who's been a mainstay for the past 3 or 4 years in the USL, has said, no, we're staying in the USL.
Yeah.
We will continue with this. CONCACAF, who oversees soccer in Central and North America, I believe.
It's the FIFA division of the Americas, basically.
So they have said, in a precedent-setting fashion, Ottawa Fury, you are not allowed to play in the USL.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And so you are not able to. Now,
there's some funny business in terms of who's in charge of these.
I want to say the guy's name is Montagliano.
Or Tagliani. Montagliani. It's one of those two.
Montenegro.
Sure.
Montagliani.
The new manager of the Blue Jays. Montoro.
So this gentleman, needless to say, is former head of Canadian soccer.
Right.
Who oversaw the startup of CPL, Canadian Premier League.
Yep.
He's now moved on to become president of CONCACAF, and Ottawa, who has said, hey, love the CPL idea, we're not interested at this moment. Once you get things going and it gets up, and we'll reevaluate.
Right. Yep.
Because Ottawa last year had the most Canadians on their roster. They've been very pro-Canadian soccer.
For sure.
They've been trying to, they got Guzman, who's their manager, former player.
De Guzman.
De Guzman, sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
Not Juan Guzman.
Julian De Guzman. It's close enough. Whatever.
Yeah. So they're very pro-Canadian soccer, and they're trying to help build that brand.
What they perceive correctly as a higher level right now than the CPL.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And so now they are left sort of without warning. Hey, You can't play there.
You're going to go play where we tell you to play.
Yeah, or,
the governing body has said, you're not in this league, you're in that league.
That's been unsaid. No, they've just said, you can't play here.
Right. But
there is this other
implication.
There is this other option over here for you.
You could go here now that we've told you you can't be there.
Right. And so for most of you listening, perhaps like me, and I can't speak for Matt, I thought, well, all right, who cares? Go over there.
Yeah.
Go play there then. All right. I can't play in the USL. I don't like that. But all right, I'll go play there. Then you start digging a little deeper, right? And you sort of go, an independent evaluator has evaluated the Ottawa Fury at close to $8 million.
Okay.
As the value for that. An expansion team in the USL now, I think, costs $6 million.
Okay.
Your average salary in the USL, which is where a lot of second tier international players go, MLS player teams lend players to,
it's like their minor league.
Yeah, to USL teams. You're getting $80,000, anywhere between $70,000 and $80,000, and your housing taken care of.
Pretty good cake.
In the CPL,
it's going to be less, folks.
$35,000, and your housing is not taken care of.
Can I just say, for the record, I'm shocked it's that high in the CPL.
So what's happening now is Ottawa Sports and OSEG, Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, who owns Fury, who have put a pile of cake into this franchise to build this brand and go, now you have, we're valued at $8 million. You got expansion franchises coming in at $6 million. You want us to go now and play in a league which is going to wickedly devalue our franchise?
Essentially, you're being pulled out of an international minor league to go play in a Canadian-only minor league, which has not yet proven that it can survive at all.
Hasn't even kicked a ball yet.
Yeah.
And so
you're healthy here. You're forcing us over here.
Yeah. For your own good.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you're saying, I have this home in this more affluent neighborhood, and you were now going to take my home.
My whole home.
Yeah, the entire thing.
It's a nice home, but you're going to plunk it down.
And transport it into a much less affluent area of town. You go, oh, your home that was valued at $7 million, well, it's now valued at $980,000. But you know what? It's good for us.
Yeah. It'd be great if you would just be okay with
Can't you see what this is good for all of us? What's good for us? What's good for the greater whole is you're going to benefit from it.
Right.
You can see how that would chafe people.
A little bit.
And you go, you know what? No.
And you know what? I talk a lot about Ottawa being kind of a little brother sports town.
True story.
But OSEG, this Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, are solely responsible for bringing the Red Blacks back, to renovating that stadium, to making the 67s relevant again. They have done
one team in the OHL.
Have done an unbelievable job of making all that work. And so to grab a USL franchise, or an NASL at the time that became a USL franchise, and make it relevant in this city, and it's not filling that stadium, but it's a healthy enough franchise.
Right.
And to have those guys who've done all that work on that franchise then be told, yeah, we're going to punt you into this experiment league and best of luck to you.
You and all your fans and your sponsorship and all that stuff.
And so it doesn't matter how big of a soccer fan you are. There are soccer fans in that market that have invested in this program, in this team, and in that league that are now being told you're going to watch an inferior brand of soccer.
Right. And so what happens now is you go, okay, yeah, that's pissing off a bunch of people locally and sort of, you know, OSEG and Ottawa fans are going, hey, what the hell? Right. And so you sort of have that it's all about me kind of thing.
Sure.
And then you look at the waves that it kicks out from here.
Right. We're trying to build a Canadian league.
Yeah.
We're looking at some big cities here down the road.
You now have the USL as a greater whole who are saying, hey man, we are a month away from camps opening. We have schedules made.
Yep.
We have sponsorship. You
can't just pluck teams.
You now can't just say, hey, we're taking that guy and we're flipping him out.
Yeah.
So you have that group as a greater whole going, we don't like that.
That's the league that, Ottawa's in right now.
Ottawa's in right now.
Yes.
Above and beyond that, and it's interesting to know, and as much as we hate it here in Ottawa, we hate the whole MLSE kind of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Group that's going on. They are also owners of not just the Leafs and the Raptors, both over $1 billion franchises. They are also owners of TFC, which has been just, I think, evaluated at just below $1 billion.
Yeah, but hugely successful in MLS.
Hugely.
Top level in North America.
You now have them who are at least taking notice and saying,
how long?
Hey, hey, I don't know what's happening over there. And yes, it is not at the same level as us.
Right.
But how long before you're telling us, hey, we need you in the CPL right. too. And while we're at it, Montreal Impact.
And Vancouver
Whitecaps.
You're coming too.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
They we want need this you league. In the CPL. And that sounds far-fetched, but the reality is CONCACAF has made this decision.
Yeah, the overseeing body.
Of North American and Central American football.
Right.
Soccer.
They're saying this is good for the Canadian Soccer League if we move Ottawa. And then maybe a couple years down the road, you three, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, you're going too.
And again, it seems far-fetched, and I get that. But the reality is it seems far-fetched that CONCACAF, do you think CONCACAF, who oversees soccer in Honduras and Costa Rica, do you think Costa Ricans and Hondurans give a pinch of coon shit twice on one show? Yes. About what's happening to the Ottawa Fury in the USL? Right. No. What? CONCACAF. Hello.
Yeah.
So if they're able to burrow down on Ottawa Fury and go, yeah, this is going to benefit that little thing that I tried, that little startup over there I tried to go with, I think we'd be better off with the Impact and maybe the Whitecaps too.
Yeah.
Let alone TFC. Yeah. Now, that's a big bird to pull down.
Yeah, that's a huge corporation with millions of dollars to fight you.
And that's why we look at it and go, yes, that's so clearly in sporting entities, we've already ran off about $4 billion worth of valuation under them.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not small to even say, if the elephant in the room even turns slightly to look at you.
Yeah. Well, and that's it, right? From MLSE's point of view, do you even want to allow the precedent to get set? Maybe it's good to back little brother right here and make sure this stops right now. And we all play where we want to play.
Exactly the point it is.
Yeah.
Right? And you go, so that's something worth looking at moving forward. It's even if you don't care about soccer, it's sort of the implication of...
Because if I'm speaking honestly, I'm not a soccer guy. We all know that. I'm intrigued by the idea of the best possible Canadian league that we can build. But that has to start on its own. That has to build itself.
It's got
to
be a little more organic.
You can't just have some guy who works for, you know, the governing body above you go, yeah, well, we don't really want to wait for that to build. We're just going to start plucking teams out of other leagues and saying, no, you all play there now. And you all fail there now, potentially, right?
Yep.
It's bullshit. It's total bullshit.
It's total bullshit.
All right. Well, we agree.
Yeah. And so to me, it's been a fascinating thing.
It really is.
That eclipses my interest in the sport of soccer.
Oh, for sure. My interest in watching how this all plays out is far more interest than I have in actually watching a game once the league starts.
Yes, exactly.
So we'll keep an eye on that and we'll see how it plays out because, as you've mentioned, the USL is getting ready to fire up for training camps and start another year. This is going to have to be resolved really fast.
Do it now.
Well, yeah.
That's all I got.
As Rob says.
Yes.
We'll wind down this episode of Tall Can Sports. You can follow us on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We're on the Instagram now.
Do it.
Tall Can Audio there.
Do
as well.
It now.
The Patreon stuff is at patreon.com. You can support the show there. patreon.com/TallCanAudio. And we'll wind this one down, and we'll see you all on the next episode of the show.
See ya!
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.